club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Hello, people, and welcome back to another episode of the FT LOL podcast. The World Cup is fast approaching. We're almost getting to the period now where teams are starting to name their World Cup squads. And despite the nation being split on Gareth Southgate, it's looking like England's best chance to win the World Cup in quite a while. The England squad is so stacked at the moment in some positions these days, and there'll be some top players who don't make the cut. And in this episode, I'll be looking at just that as I look at the top 10 English players who never played at a World Cup. Right, so into the 10, in at number 10 is Colin Todd, father to our recent podcast guest, Andy Todd, and one of England's greatest ever defenders. Won two titles at Derby. He was the first and one of the only defenders ever to win the PFA Player of the Year. Todd, he wasn't the biggest of centre-halves, but he was a great tackler, great interceptor. As Andy alluded to, he liked to play football. He was a modern centre-back for the time, really. A top player, and built up a very good partnership as well with Roy McFarland. Todd was a bit overlooked, in my view, in terms of caps. Only got about 25 to his name. But I've got no doubt, if England had qualified for the 1974 World Cup, he would have got the nod. But there was a period between 1970 and 1982 where England didn't qualify. So that means there's some great players such as Todd that missed out on going to the tournament. Because, 12 years, that is a long chunk of anyone's career, really, not to be playing at the World Cup. At number 9, I've gone with Matt Le Tissier. He's one of the most talented players in Premier League history, a legend at Southampton, and can do things with the football that very few could, really. I mean, I remember watching him as a kid, and then on the videos, the greatest goals in Premier League history was always on there. Absolutely loved the worldie, and when he was on it, he was very, very hard to play against. But strangely, he only got 8 England caps and never really impressed any England manager throughout his career. He very famously scored a hat-trick in the build-up to the 98 World Cup in an England B game, but that still wasn't enough to impress Glenn Hoddle, who later went on to manage him at Southampton. So, yeah, that would have been interesting. But, yeah, for some reason, Le Tissier always been overlooked. I think his absolute peak as well was probably 94, where England didn't qualify. And maybe if they had then, he may have made the squad. At number 8 is Ray Clements. So unlike some of the other players on this list, he actually got a very high amount of caps. He got 61, and he was playing regularly for England for over a decade. But unfortunately, most of that decade was in the 1970s, so that's where that 12-year gap without a World Cup tournament comes in. And there was a point, really, where the England manager was switching between Peter Shilton and Ray Clements, and they both built up a lot of caps in the 70s and early 80s, but it was Shilton that got the nod for the 82 World Cup. But, I mean, Clements had some career. He had the better club career, really, than Shilton, winning a few European Cups and league titles with that legendary Liverpool side in the late 70s, and regarded by almost everyone as one of the greatest ever England goalkeepers. But unfortunately, he just did have to compete with Shilton for a number of years, who also is regarded as one of the best ever. So if it was a different era, I think we'd definitely be talking about Clements as England's number one goalie at a few World Cups. At number 7, I've gone with Ted Drake. As an Arsenal fan, I had to get this man in here the star of Herbert Chapman's great Arsenal side of the 1930s. He didn't play often for England. Part of that as well was due to the World War too, but yeah, his record was ridiculous for Arsenal, and in the short games that he did play for England, there was a famous game actually called the Battle of Highbury, which took place between England and Italy, who had just been named world champions. England actually did beat Italy in that game, and Drake scored. And I think at this point in time in the 30s, you could argue that that was England's best ever side. And if they had been able to play in the World Cup in 34 or 38, one, Ted Drake wouldn't be on this list because he would have been in that team. And also, he may even have a World Cup medal to his name because that's how good they were. And Drake was the best player on the best team in England. He famously scored 7 in a game once against Aston Villa. He's a very prominent name in, I remember reading my Arsenal history book growing up, very prominent in the glory years, and still regarded as one of Arsenal's best ever strikers now. At number 6, I've gone with Andy Cole. This is a man with 5 Premier League titles, man who scored for 6 different Premier League sides, and is the 4th highest goal scorer in Premier League history, but strangely, that didn't convert to England caps. He only got 15. He only got 1 goal for England as well. It just didn't work out for some reason on the international stage. And his best chance would have been in 1998. In the 1998 World Cup, he was in contention, but never really first or second choice or anything like that. And yeah, he didn't make the cut. But to be fair, the pool of talent, or the pool of striking talent at least, in 1998 was absolutely ridiculous. Definitely the best England have ever had in terms of depth at striker. And yeah, for that reason, he didn't make the squad. He also had a well-known rift with Teddy Sheringham, which probably didn't help things as well, as Sheringham was sort of the main striker with Shearer for that World Cup. But yeah, this 98 side was insanely stacked, and therefore he didn't make it. One player who did make that World Cup squad in 1998, but still makes the list at number 5, is Les Ferdinand. So Les Ferdinand made the squad, but he never actually got on the pitch because he was behind Shearer and Sheringham, and then Michael Owen as well in the pecking order. I think he probably would have got a game in 1994, but England never qualified for that one. So it's yet another striker that probably missed out in his peak years, but he was still a top player in 1998. And I think I've said it before on the podcast a few times, for me, Les Ferdinand was a better all-round player than Andy Cole. That's why he sits one higher. Amazing at hold-up, great in the air. And yeah, he just scored goals for years as well. He was a nice second striker, a nice foil to another player such as Alan Shearer. They had a great relationship, but he could score goals in his own right. A real nightmare for defenders as well. So I think he's very underrated and he deserves a high ranking on this list. At number 4, another player that I think for non-Arsenal fans is still hugely underrated. He's an absolute legend, adored by everyone at Arsenal. Everyone knows how good of a striker he was. And that is Ian Wright. He's one of the best, most natural finishers that I've ever seen. And I think one of the most natural finishers England have ever had. Scored some amazing goals, scored lots of goals as well. He's a late bloomer, didn't make it pro till about 21, 22 at Palace. But yeah, the higher the level that he went, the better he got. He was good at Palace, even better at Arsenal. And he had some career as well. He became Arsenal's record goal scorer, which he held for a few years before Henry overtook him. And like the two below him on the list, he was in the running for 98. I think he certainly would have been on the plane as well. But he did get injured a couple of months before the tournament, and that ruled him out. like Les Ferdinand, I think you're probably talking Ferdinand, Shearer and Wright as the main three strikers in 1994. But because England didn't qualify, Wright doesn't get to play in that World Cup and he doesn't get to play in the one after. And so the timing's just a bit off for him. My number three is Terry McDermott, best known for his time at Liverpool, where he won 5 league titles and 3 European Cups. He was named PFA Player of the Year in 1980 and was a classic box-to-box midfielder. I think he would have thrived as well in the 90s. The noughties era, you're talking players like Lampard, Vieira, Keane. I think he would have had some good battles with those for sure. And he had a good goal scoring record from midfield as well. And he got a huge goal in Liverpool's first European Cup final when he opened the scoring for them there. And that really set the tone for more European Cups and more trophies. Yeah, he had a really good career at Liverpool. And he also was a bit of a cult hero at Newcastle as well. We had a couple of spells there. And McDermott, he was playing regularly for England in the early 80s. And I think he played in every qualifying game for 1982 as well. But for some reason, didn't manage to get on the pitch in 1982. He was in the squad, but never made an appearance. So he makes it at number three. At number two, we go to the other side of Merseyside, as we've got Dixie Dean. So Dixie Dean, his name is always brought up because he's got this amazing record of 60 goals in a single league season, which I don't think will ever be broken, not even by Erling Haaland. Dean is Everton's top goal scorer by quite a distance, and he's also the third top goal scorer in English football history as well. Because of the era that he played in, which was mainly in the 20s and also the 1930s, he would have never had a chance to play in the World Cup, really. I mean, the first World Cup was in 1930, but England didn't become a FIFA member until 1950. So they didn't play in any of the early versions. So at that point, Dean would have been long retired. But yeah, I'm sure if England had played in 1930, not only would we be talking about Dixie Dean as a World Cup goal scorer, I think potentially a World Cup winner as well, because there would have been very few around at that era that could have matched him. And at number one, from Duncan Edwards, who is perhaps the greatest what-if in English football history. I think, you know, we all know what happened to Duncan Edwards. He sadly died in the Munich air disaster in 1958 at the age of just 21 years old. But despite only being 21 years old, he had already had some career. He won a couple of league titles with that famous Busby Babes Man United side and was becoming the captain of that team. He was the youngest England player after the World War era. And he was seen by most people as definitely a future England captain. I think the natural successor for Billy Wright, really. And despite only being 21, he'd already got 18 caps as well. Yeah, this guy just had everything. He was physical. He had the technique. He had the leadership as well. He scored goals. He could defend. He could attack. Both-footed. And yeah, just unbelievable player. And, you know, most people say that if he hadn't died and he had a full career, he'd be talking about Man United's greatest ever player, England's greatest ever player, future Ballon d'Or winner, definitely. And I know Man United have won a lot of trophies. They won a lot of trophies under Matt Busby, but if Duncan Edwards had been in that side, then we'd be talking about an even more successful Man United team. He would have been in that 1966 World Cup side as well, so he'd have a World Cup medal. And yeah, he's so highly rated that despite only really playing for about 4 or 5 seasons, he made the PFA team of the century. That's how highly rated that this guy was, and you won't hear anyone say anything other than destined to be a once in a generation player, really. And yeah, it would have just been amazing to see him at his peak. And that rounds off our list. Let's see if there's any surprises of players that miss out in this year's World Cup squad announcements, and maybe make a future list like this. Thank you for listening, and remember to keep it.